Welcome to Detox to Rehab's True Stories of Addiction podcast series. Today's guest is Zach as he shares his story of recovery.
The only real memory I have of like my mother and my father and me being together is, everything breaking on one day. My dad leaving and I was left with my mom. And, you know, so instantly right there at a very young age, I mean, this happened when I was like 2 or 3. You know, I just didn't feel comfortable. Like I had that family life that like everybody else had that I wanted. And, I just didn't like being at home. So my first outlet for that was sports. I did anything I could to escape that. I played soccer at a competitive level, started to play hockey when I was in like 7th and 8th grade. And that's also the same time that I was introduced to drugs and alcohol. I can remember the first time I was ever introduced to drugs. It was marijuana. I smoked a joint at my elementary school back in the field. And like when I hit that joint, I felt like I'd arrived, right? Like I felt comfortable in my own skin. And I finally like could turn down all that noise that was in my head that was going on with like, man, you don't fit in. Like you don't have this normal family life. Like, you know, you come from a broken home. Like all that just like went to the wayside. And my cousins and stuff that I was living around at the time were heavy into doing drugs and selling drugs. So I also looked at it as an outlet as like, cool, I don't have to get a job, right? Like I can start selling this. And like, you know, my life did change at one point during school. It was May 1st of 2004. I was in a really bad car accident. My girlfriend was killed on impact. I was airy back to county hospital. And, I had a collapsed lung. I broke every bone on the left side of my body and, you know, was pretty much gonna die. But, the doctors at county hospital saved me, thank God. And I went through like this horrible Groundhog's Day experience for like 9 days straight, right? Like I wake up every day and, you know, my family's back in the same room again, and it took me almost dying for that to happen. So that's a little light on how messed up that actually was. And I'd wake up every day and, you know, I would ask like, where's Shauna at? Like, where's my girlfriend at? And, they would hit me with a bunch of Dilaudid and painkillers, and I'd immediately go back out. And then finally on the 10th day, I awoke and realized that my girlfriend had died, right? And my parents are trying to do everything they can to help me. Like, you know, they're showing up as good parents. Like, regardless of what's going on between them, they absolutely love me and showed me unconditional love. You know, and they're trying to get me into grievance counseling. Like, my mom's super Catholic. She's like having nuns come talk to me. And none of this stuff is registering, right? Like, all I want to do is go listen to sad punk rock songs in my room and eat these painkillers that the doctor prescribed. That continued until the doctors pretty much cut me off the painkillers because they thought I had an issue. Which I couldn't see it. I'm like 16, about to turn 17 years old at this time. And I just had no idea what I was getting myself into. I believe I became a drug addict like that day. Like that event set everything off for me. Like I had dabbled before that, but that event was so life-changing, and I never ever dealt with her death until I actually came into the rooms like a year ago. My friends were getting into cocaine at the time, and I remember going to a party after being laid up for a while. And introduced the cocaine, and like that one line of coke just set off like the next 10 years of my life. Like, and it feels like today, it just feels like that, right? Like it's just so quick, like a blink of an eye. But so much time has passed and I spent so much time out there. And I just did everything. Like I went to school, I did get an associate's degree, I did all that. My dad's a doctor, you know, he was like gung-ho on me going to school and stuff, even though I hated it. And, I did what I could to stay involved in that. And then eventually I ended up withdrawing from all my courses at ASU because I wanted to sell drugs, right? Like I was good at that. That's the only other thing I ever knew outside of playing sports, was how to hustle drugs on the streets. And I did that, and I did it for a long time. Successful at it, like, yeah, but like everybody around me that loved me could see this huge pitfall that I couldn't see. I was arrested in a prescription fraud ring, and I was charged with a class 3 felony attempting to acquire narcotics through fraudulent means. So you think like normally like a person would wake up at this point like, yo, dude, you got a problem, right? Like we need to start fixing this. And, I didn't, man. I went to court and I got a slap on the wrist. I pretty much got unsupervised probation. They tried to put me in task and send me to rehab. I went to Calvary and a couple other treatment centers, and none of that stuck. Like I would put 30 days together, and as soon as I hit the streets, I was instantly getting loaded again. You know, since I was red flagged for painkillers because of the charges I had, I started sticking a needle in my arm. I mean, I hear people say all the time, like, man, I hit rock bottom. And like, what I know about my addiction is like the lowest rock bottom is going to be death, because like that's how I get high. So I was just constantly doing heroin. And the second I picked it up, I just couldn't put it down. Like I was a slave to it. I couldn't even sell drugs anymore to make money. I was literally just selling drugs, you know, to get myself high and just going through all this stuff. And I had tried to move out of state a couple times. Geographical changes did not save my life, as the book tells us. Basically, I'd say my rock bottom was, you know, after living in Minnesota for a while, I was homeless on the streets out there. And I came back home and I had a job lined up and a place to stay at my mom's. And within, I arrived on March 1st of 2016. By March 7th of 2016, like in a matter of a week, I was homeless shooting dope in a park, right? So like that's how quick my disease takes me out. And so something had to change, right? Like I was so broken inside that I just didn't want to live this life anymore. And I decided to go to Community Bridges. And that's where I had my first taste of sobriety. And it was a beautiful experience. Someone brought a meeting in there and I could totally relate. Like my stories were parallel to them. And they're like, yo, I got 3 years sober. And I'm like, dude, how'd you do that? Cause like, I can't even put together 3 days. Like it's the only way I can be sober. So like definitely how'd you do that? And they're like giving me suggestions. You should go to a halfway house. You should do this. And I'm like, yeah, I got a halfway house lined up. You know, I'm gonna go check this place out. And I ended up doing that. I did get loaded when I leave detox because like I'm a drug addict and I have to get high one more time before I quit, right? Like if there's no solution in me, that's just what it is. So I arrive at this halfway house and an old timer came up to me and he's just like, dude, you're just a punk little kid. And he's like, I don't care how old you are. He's like, you just need to shut your mouth and listen. And you know exactly who I'm talking about. And so, you know, I did that, right? And I was kicking dope in there for the first week again because I chose to get high on the way to the halfway house. And everybody around me was happy. And, you know, we're all in the same situation. And I see people picking up 3-month chips and 6-month chips and everybody's life's getting better. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to listen to these guys for a little bit and see what happens. And I did that and I got a job and I continued to stay sober. I started working my steps and then I moved on into a 3-quarter house after that. And like before I knew it, I was like 6 months sober and I was like, man, dude, the last like 10, 11 years, I couldn't put together 6 days and I got 6 months. I wish I could have said that I stayed sober at this point, but I did not, right? Because my disease kicks up in my head. You know, I got the job and all my disease is telling me is like, dude, let's go get this money, right? Like I stopped talking to everybody around me that's been giving these suggestions to get my life to where it's at. And you know, my disease ends up telling me, hey man, you're just a drug addict. You're not an alcoholic. So I go up and pick up that first drink. You know, that relapse lasted for 2 months and it was the worst relapse I've ever had in my entire life. I didn't lose my job. I didn't lose my place to live. I didn't lose like a bunch of money. Drugs and alcohol were no longer a solution. Like I was becoming suicidal. Like I was done. I was ready to end it. Like I wasn't looking for drugs and alcohol in the streets anymore. I was looking for a gun to kill myself. You know, I did have that taste of sobriety. I think I was like sober for like 7 something months. I picked up a 7-month chip and went out right after that. But I had built enough relationships with people in the program that were still reaching out to me like, yo, are you breathing? Are you okay? Like we care about you. We love you. And I decided to go to a meeting and I picked up a sponsor and, you know, I'm grateful I did that. I took the suggestion when I came in to do it the first time, and this time I did it different, right? Like I got everything off my chest. I did my steps correctly. I remember doing my fifth step with my sponsor, and it was just like a weight had lifted off my shoulders, and that's the first time I'd ever experienced like God in a room, like, you know, like, and it was just sitting right in my sponsor Joey's house, and like literally just felt like God was in his living room, and he just took like a bunch of bricks off my back, and like I could breathe. And it's all just from, you know, working the steps and taking suggestions. I went through my steps in 30 days, continued to stay involved, right? Like, and I don't say that to be like, look at me, I went through my steps in 30 days. I just say it is because like the options that were on the table 30 days before that were a gun in one hand and like a bullet in the other. And like, that's all I really had, right? And I just didn't want to die anymore. So, you know, I just kept taking suggestions and I stayed involved. And, you know, I do H&I commitment. H&I has been such a beautiful thing for me, like to be able to take meetings into hospitals and institutions and stuff, like places where I like said I would never go back to. But now I get to go back there and sit on the other side of the table and give people, like I used to be, like hope. And it's just, it's a beautiful experience. Like that keeps me sober. I have home groups. I definitely have service commitments. I'm sponsoring guys. I just got my first guy through all the way through his steps. And that was like the most beautiful experience ever, is to take another man through his steps, like to see the light go on in another addict when he like has that aha moment, like, dude, I can do this, right? Like, and life's getting better. And like, you're giving me tools and, you know, having this relationship with God. And it's just like this beautiful thing. And like, that's all it really is just God working through me to help another addict. And I sponsor anybody that will ask. You know, I try to keep like 4 or 5 guys in the book. Right now I got 3. I'm always willing to be of service, like coming to speak whenever I'm asked, like, you know, whether I'm working or not, like I'll make it work on my lunch break. Like I don't care, because I know today that's what keeps me sober. And I have a beautiful life today, man. Like, I have a job. I just got promoted like an hour ago. It was beautiful. Made management at the company I've been working at for a year. You know, this life just keeps getting better and better. And it's like a life that I never would have dreamed of, right? Like, because my dreams used to be like old addicted dreams that were like sick and stuff. Like, yo, you're going to be a rock star or a rapper and all this crazy stuff, like unrealistic stuff. I don't even know if that stuff would have made me happy, right? And today, like, my bills are paid. I got money to do what I want. And like, life is absolutely beautiful. Like, there's really no questions asked with that. I'm blessed for the life that I get to have today. Like, extremely blessed. To anybody that's seeking help, like, I would honestly say probably going to a rehab or a detox. I mean, it depends on what you're coming off of. Detox and then rehab is always a good suggestion. And then definitely going into a halfway house, like putting yourself in a structured environment around people that are already succeeding in the program. Like, because that's what got me sober. Like, whether how long I did stints in these halfway houses, you know, wasn't really the issue. But like, I met all the people today that I still hang out with that are still getting me sober, you know, and I continue to grow around these people and, you know, just stay teachable and just, you know, stay willing. Cause like, that's the most important thing is willingness, like in action. Like, if you're really at that rock bottom where like you absolutely feel like, you know, something has to change or you're gonna die, then just be willing to like accept whatever comes your way and be like, look, this person has 2 years of sobriety and something's working for them. Take those suggestions and try to put it in a way that works for you and just keep it moving forward.
Thank you for listening. Please join us next week as we share more true stories of addiction.